What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is the day after. We're coming up on just under 24 hours since a jury of 12 regular people just like you and me decided that Donald Trump had committed 34 felonies. Before we went to the top of the hour for news, weather, and sports, we had a caller that asked about the system and made an excellent point that as Donald Trump and his co-conspirators across the GOP are every day now and starting yesterday, nearly universally condemning the system, it begs the question, so what next? If what they say is true, what do they propose be done differently? This, of course, that question, not just hypothetical, it has to be seen in the very real context, the very real promises that have been made by Donald Trump and his campaign. And that is that they affirmatively will engage in political prosecutions of their political enemies. So what is it that Speaker Mike Johnson and Jim Jordan and Elise Stefanik, what is it that they propose be done? That we simply abandon any pretense that our justice system should proceed despite the fact that it was the former MAGA president who committed these crimes? Are they saying, all criminal justice, that's all partisan and we just can't trust the system at all. To replace it with what? The stupidity, the irresponsibility of their opinion, of their commentary, to me, may be particularly, would likely be particularly deeply offensive to people of color in this country. People of color in this country have known for very long that they don't get the same shot in most courtrooms that white folk do. The New York Times included a piece today where they were talking to voters in a critical county in Pennsylvania. One of the voters that they spoke with was a Black woman. And she asked the question that I think jumped to many, many Americans' minds, especially persons of color in this country, as they heard Republican after Republican denigrate the legal system and defend this convicted felon over and over again. What would Republicans be doing if it was Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton who had just been convicted on 34 counts? What would the Republican response be? To conservatives out there listening, you know what the response would be. Glee.
They were chanting, "Lock the witch, may we burn her?"
Yes, they were chanting, "Lock her up," a long time ago. If it was Barack Obama, there'd be lynch mobs. We know this. We know this. And I can't imagine that many people of color weren't thinking to themselves, how dare this man, how dare his co-conspirators, how dare the grand old party have the audacity to throw out the entire system? A man who once called for the execution of five innocent men, the Central Park Five, that were convicted in the very same courthouse that this man was. Innocent men. Of course, he's never apologized for calling for their execution. The people of color in this country must be thinking, yeah, sometimes the system absolutely isn't fair. It is not always just. But you better believe if it was a Black young man, a Black woman, I wouldn't hear Elise Stefanik, Jim Jordan, Mike Johnson wringing their hands about whether or not our system works. Your concern about justice can't be situational. Your concern about our institutions can't only be when you lose. What that is cravenness of the highest order. Annie from Watertown, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
You said something about flip-floppers. It's like, I'm more worried about the devotees, like my dear old Scott Fitzgerald and my Mark Bourne and John Jagler, these people that represent me who are just like blindly devoted, who people look to for, and they're like, well, that's my representative. He must know something. But what, talking about the jurisdiction, I was lucky enough to, I got my uncle's old New York magazines and read Vanity Fair and everything. And my father was a small businessman. So the thing that impressed me greatly with Donald Trump's, the way he did business, his normal business practices. At a young age, I was appalled that my father's company was not going to be paid because Company A went into bankruptcy. Yet my father owed Company A for the services they rendered, and he still had to pay them. So it was like, wow, this whole, you know, inequality and unfairness. And now you've got the people, his peers, that area, New York City, there are more people there who know who he is, because the chances that they know somebody that got screwed over by this guy, got put out of business, lost their business because they did work for Donald Trump and they got screwed by him. And
well, one of the interesting things about that question is there were specific questions on the jury questionnaire that tried to suss that out so that they would not seat anyone who themselves or had family that had done business with the Trump organization. So they were very clearly trying to avoid folks that had that direct dealing, Annie. I also wanted to address very briefly what the caller also raised was the unlikelihood of jail time and the egregiousness of the former MAGA president's behavior. I wouldn't be shocked if he did get some time in jail. He'll never set foot in prison. The differentiation here is if it's under a year, you spend the time in jail. If it's over a year, you go to a state prison. But the judge will also consider the strain it would put on the correction system. And how again, it would be, was Secret Service going to hang out in Rikers with Donald Trump? I mean, they
already don't have a lot of room.
Yeah. And so those considerations are real and they're fair for the judge to take into his decision-making, to put into the mix. But again, as to this question of punishment, what person of color in this country doesn't think that if it was a member of their family, any person of color sitting in the block, that the book wouldn't be thrown at them? And that to me should be what is truly disturbing to people. That we often do have a two-tiered system of justice for rich people, especially for rich white people, and a different system for folks that are brown and black and folks that are poor or can't afford the best lawyers in the nation. That is unjust. That is a system that begs for correction. We don't even track how judges sentence people and layer that on top of their demography or their demographic characteristics. That's so stupid. We don't even collect the data to know how biased the system is. Cam from Nina texting that he has a real fear of Republicans starting a civil war. I have a bug out bag ready, and I've considered getting something for defense and strictly defense because of how much harm they make it sound like they want to bring to the left. I was appalled by the comments provided by former Governor Tommy Thompson in response to the verdict. He basically said, oh, the RNC is going to really be out of control now. Well, that's helpful, Governor Thompson. Perhaps you should stand behind our legal system. Perhaps you should stand behind institutions. Perhaps you should implore your party to not take up arms, former Governor Thompson. Shame on you.
This whole situation, and the reason why I'm personally kind of excited that he got convicted on all 34 counts is because this is a trope. This is a played out thing. Remember, I mean, it's so used. It's in the movie Roadhouse. Remember Roadhouse?
Oh, yeah.
Roadhouse.
Well, it's the evil bad guy that gets to do whatever he wants, and all his henchmen run around and push everybody around, and nobody gets to do anything until someone stands up and socks the guy in the mouth. Well, that really shouldn't happen because that's not how we do things here, but in a figurative way, finally, the bad guy got held to account. My goodness. And it's not just, it's the guy that was never held to account finally being held to account. That, my goodness.
Ever. Right. Ever in his life. Not once. Here's what else the former governor of the state of Wisconsin had to say. I think it's going to pretty much cement Donald Trump being elected. People see this trial as a political vendetta, blah, 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 blah. Shame on you. Shame on you, Tommy Thompson. How dare you? How dare you? Where is your appeal to our higher angels? Where is you stepping into the leadership void that is so massive it now defines the GOP? Just despicable. We'll continue to have this conversation. It is so very important. If you would like to participate, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. What I'm going to take up next is this concept that I've been hearing, and Professor Franklin noted it, that, oh, well, voters already have a potential conviction baked into the cake. They've already adjusted for that. We're going to talk about whether or not that's true, and I'll let you know. I think that's a bunch of hooey, and I'll tell you exactly why after this brief message. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. The discussion continues.
Lock him up. Lock up the son. Don't forget about the son. The kid gives me the creeps.
Give me a beat.
Boy. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Trump's conviction today. I mean, what else is there to talk about? We will, of course, because it is Friday, and we need to break it up just a wee bit. We will be joined by Terry Barr for a little of what's local and overlooked in Wisconsin this past week. But I wanted to get back to the conviction and some of the polling. And we heard from Professor Franklin that a lot of people think that a potential conviction and now the actual conviction has been baked into the cake for a lot of voters. But here's what. We have been seeing a shift away from Trump and to Joe Biden since the fall. It's been slow, but that is the way the polls have been trending. And you heard me ask Professor Franklin, did your poll or any poll that you know of differentiate between, for example, unanimity across all 34 charges and, say, a split decision from the jury where they say 50-50, 17 convictions, 17 acquittals? And his answer was no, none of them did. What we also know from polling is that the great majority of Americans simply haven't been paying all that close of attention to this trial. Guess what sharpens the focus, gets the mind trained in on something? A headline that reads guilty, 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 all of them. That is clear. That is what people can understand. So when we look in this, you know, at all, and there's all kinds of, there's an ABC News Ipsos poll. The Marquette poll, there's a Reuters poll, the New York Times, blah, blah. I'm not even going to go through a YouGov last night. Polls are just points in time. We're going to see what happens. But I think among some key demographics, I think Black and Brown folks, again, I'd be offended by the indignation from the right over the justice system. You don't seem to care. And Donald Trump didn't care about the Central Park Five. And I think white suburban women, this will be a concern. So this isn't about massive swings. This is about trends. Where is it moving? And if even a small fraction of those that have voted against Donald Trump in the primaries that are Republicans, even a small fraction, a tiny sliver, stay home or move towards Joe Biden, this could be a game changer. I don't think we play it down. I think we talk about it all the time. He's a convicted, stinking felon. This will sharpen the mind, sharpen the focus of our mind on what exactly is going on here. Want to go to the phones. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you've been very patient. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Thanks, Maggie. Yeah, it's pretty disturbing that they're willing to go to the lengths they're willing to go to and ignore the fact that this man is now 34 convictions against him. And we ignore the fact, that conservative Dave called and said, well, talking about the Steele report. If memory serves, initially that report was actually commissioned by a Republican opponent of Donald Trump, and Hillary just picked it up. Because that's what you do opposition research. And if I'm wrong here, please correct me, but when Bill Barr summarized the Mueller report, he lied when he did it, because the Mueller report indicated the potential that there was serious crimes committed by the Trump.
Basically, and I want to be very clear, the Mueller report concluded that Donald Trump obstructed justice. That's what it concluded. It didn't say he should be charged, and it came close. They didn't quite say he committed this crime. But when you read it, that is the upshot of the Mueller report. And Mark from Prairie du Sac is exactly correct that Bill Barr lied about it. He, again, manipulated voters, manipulated the public. And we know this. Why? Because a federal judge concluded so in a hearing. Go back to one of my past episodes on Bill Barr. It's an entire 2-hour takedown of Bill Barr, who's had his fingers in every corruption pie at the federal governmental level, dating back to basically Nixon.
This is what Mueller had to say about the situation, just to be clear.
If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
Yes. Clarifying. Like a verdict of guilty, would you not say?
Perhaps.
Jack from Merrimack, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you, Maggie. I've got three things. I'll try to be quick. First of all, one of the prime tenets of fascism is to tear down the legal and judicial system of a country. This is no longer the GOP or the Republican Party. This is either the MAGA or the Trumplican Party, and they are, in fact, aiming to become a fascist authoritarian form of government in our country. Secondly, the people that are siding with Trump on this are after exactly one thing, power. And they think that if he gets in, and according to Project 2025, this will happen, they will have absolute power and for the foreseeable future. And finally, those people that are considering that and that are helping Trump had better think about this and seriously think about it. Project 2025 is a blueprint for the takeover of our entire country, from the military to Justice Department to the FBI, all the way down to the lowest level of civil servants. Trump will have sycophants in his circle. They will not stop him from doing anything that his narcissistic wishes want him to do. And he has already said in front of witnesses, not once, but three times, if we have nuclear weapons, why can't we use them? This guy is scary, and these people should be afraid of it. That's it. Thank you for my rant.
Thanks, Jack. I couldn't agree with you more. As we step back and we try to process, again, what all of this will ultimately mean, the near uniformity of response from the GOP is deeply, deeply disturbing. We know that the Republican Party will engage in total scorched earth if any current sitting Republican elected official speaks out against Donald Trump. Brian and I have been trying to find one to actually say the truth on the record with audio rolling, and we haven't been able to find one today, because we know that that's now the brand of the GOP. Perfect personal loyalty to the man, loyalty to a person, not a set of principles, and certainly not loyalty to you and I as citizens of this country. We'll review some of the GOP's response. We'll take a listen to some of the flippity floppers. Might even get a little flavor of what's local and overlooked. That's all coming up next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, your farm update. You'll hear in just a moment. Then we'll continue the discussion on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. Happy Friday, y'all. Guilty! Back, Wisconsin. Happy Friday, y'all. Slow news week. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have a little bit of what's local and overlooked. Brian, if you can let Terry know, we're going to probably take her in the last segment of the day so we can finish some of our thinking here about the Donald Trump conviction. Speaker Mike Johnson called yesterday when 12 average Americans convicted the former MAGA president of 34 separate felony charges. Speaker Mike Johnson called it a, quote, shameful day in American history. This was purely a political exercise, not a legal one. Tell that to the 12 jurors, Mike. The American people see this as lawfare, and they know it is wrong. Really? He goes on, President Trump will rightfully appeal this absurd verdict, and he will win. Here's something that keeps coming up for me, Brian. I have to be completely transparent. Do you ever notice how when Republicans talk about things, they always talk about their viewpoint as if everyone on the planet shares it?
It's as if it's already written and they're talking about black and white. This is how it is.
Yes. Democrats do not speak like this.
They talk like they're a religious zealot, as if they're telling you the actual answer. And it might be cute. They might tolerate your different opinions, but this is the absolute truth. And if you differ, you're going to hell, and good for you.
That's the language. Lee Stefanik, the number three Republican in the House. I fully support President Trump appealing this decision and look forward to the New York Court of Appeals delivering justice and overturning this verdict. She claimed without evidence that the case was brought forward by Joe Biden's allies.
Literally every one of them. Every one of them has like a breakdown that goes basically like this. Hey, you know, he's really bad and really horrible and everything. Why are you voting for him? Because I like the Republican ticket. Okay. Well, he's convicted and everything. Well, it's rigged. Well, it does not compute because it's always either rigged or it's not. And it just does not make sense.
This is the party of law and order, except when it's one of your guys.
Personal responsibility, anyone?
Right. It's ridiculous. Mitch McConnell.
It's a partisan thing. It's a partisan thing, but I'm only voting for him because I don't want the Democrats to win.
I don't care what damage he does. Steve Bannon last night said action, 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 and then cut to like a pounding set of music. Nice. Wonder what he means by that. Oh, wait, his conviction. Yeah, he appealed that. Don't think they vacated his conviction either. The Republican Party of Brown County here at home said the verdict is an effort from Democrats to silence, suppress, and even jail their political opponents. No, it's not.
Isn't he talking right then to a press gaggle?
The thing that bothers, it's not Democrats. It was 12 people, 12 average Americans. That's who convicted him. Not Democrats. Oh, and there's this other thing. You know, they wouldn't have had a case to bring had he not actually broken the law, which, again, none of the actual statements deny any of the predicate facts that the jury found beyond any reasonable doubt, any shadow of a doubt, amounted to 34 different felony crimes.
It's not that he paid off a porn star. No one cares about that. It's that he used it and he categorized it and it was fraud.
Yes.
Fraud.
To keep information from the American people. Ron Johnson called the trial's outcome a travesty of justice. Derek Van Orten called it a black day. Wisconsin Republican Party chairman said, this is Ben Schimming, the ruling is a weaponization of the federal legal system from a sham trial. Wait. Brad, you moron. It wasn't a federal prosecution. It's just disgusting.
But you know what they can do is raise a lot of money on it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Here's a few things from our founding fathers that I thought appropriate for this moment. Human rights can only be assured among a virtuous people. The general government can never be in danger of degenerating into a monarchy, an oligarchy, an aristocracy, or any other despotic or oppressive form, so long as there shall remain any virtue in the body of the people. From George Washington. Public virtue cannot exist in a nature without private virtue, and public virtue is the only foundation of republics. That's John Adams. It's interesting. I've heard Republicans quote this particular line from John Adams on, you know, some other issues that they claim to be clear-cut questions of knowing God's truth. And of course, which God? Their God. They've quoted this about virtue. If it's true on that question, why is it not so too here? They quote this line as well, Benjamin Franklin, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Do you want a master? Do you want to condone viciousness? You want to eschew virtue and principles and the values that have always held us together as a country? The person that is the embodiment of what these three men feared is Donald Trump, the dictator on day one, the man who asked to, you know, let's just do away with the Constitution for a while, who talks about spoiling the blood of America, who calls upon images of the Reich.
He's literally just trying to raise money for his legal defense. That's all it is. He'll say whatever he can to get money.
To get people so to cut checks to pay
folks,
his lawyers.
You are paying him to pay for his legal defense. If you are giving money to Donald Trump, he's no longer pretending that he's doing a cancer charity anymore and funneling it through somewhere because he can't legally do that. But he's now taking your campaign funds and just putting it into his legal fund.
That's what it is. You know, do you want to give away your money?
But you're mad that somebody over there with a food stamp somewhere might get something that you think is a luxury item one time. What a bunch of jerks.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said on X, quote, "The only thing that can right the wrong of this politically motivated persecution and restore balance to our now broken system is for Donald J. Trump to become our next president." Wow.
Wow.
Wow. You want to talk about a travesty of justice, an abuse of taxpayer trust, a complete and utter disdain for the law, a complete and total lack of any accountability? The words or the name Michael Gableman, Mr. Voss, might pop to mind, who said to us in totally clear terms that I don't need to comply with the open records law. Psh, no, that's not, that, those laws aren't meant for me. Tom from West Allis says this: "I have yet to have people bring up the fact that both Trump's attorneys and the New York prosecution attorneys together picked those jurors. How can they be biased if Trump's people picked them as well?" Bravo, Tom.
Just like Trump hires the best people, except for everybody that he fired within the first year or two of being with him.
Right. Or except for Mike Pence, Jim Mattis, General Mark Milley, Rex Tillerson, Chris Christie, H.R. McMaster, John Bolton, John Kelly, Mick Mulvaney, Anthony Scaramucci, Stephanie Grissom, Betsy DeVos, Elaine Cho, Richard Spencer, Tom Boser, Michael Cohen, Ty Cobb, Alyssa Farah Griffin, Omarosa, Manganiello, Newman. I'm running out of breath. Sarah Matthews, Cassidy Hutchinson, Olivia Troy. The list goes on. Those are all people that worked for Donald Trump that now say he's a menace to the United States. Here's where we're at. We've got a moment where what happened in state court showed that the rule of law matters here in the United States, that the justice system can sometimes mete out necessary accountability. But what it will bring about is a relentless, never-ending attack on our legal system, on our institutions. We have to be prepared for this. To put it bluntly, our democracy is fragile. Every founding father has always told us that, and it is in crisis right now. Hearing Republican after Republican attack the system, spit in the face of the average Americans, the 12 regular people just like you and me that sat in that jury box and did their duty. They are the threat to our democracy, the enablers of Donald Trump, the excuse makers, the Elise Stefanics, the Mike Johnsons, the Robin Vosses, the Ron Johnsons, the Eric Hovdes. We are in a period of the most intense stress on our most fundamental institutions. And what worries me, not just the election, but the Supreme Court, these five partisan hacks, these men on the court, poised to grant immunity to a president, to anoint a king, that this might galvanize these five men on the Supreme Court to perhaps expand their ruling on immunity. That they might somehow find their way to take up this case from state court. There will be battles, but the greatest thing that we can do is, again, the appeal to process and institutions. This is our system. Need it be more just? Yes. You needn't ask Donald Trump about that. Ask any average American who has been subjected to our legal system. And at the end, this is the least of the cases. We're not going to hear the evidence in any of the other cases before the election. There's zero chance of that. I've been saying it for a while. But this is what we've got. And the hope is that on November 5th, that by the time we get there, we only need the pendulum to swing a little bit. We need that tiny slice. So keep talking about this with your friends and family. If they think it was rigged, ask them, well, what do we do if not this? What is your solution? What is your alternative to our legal system if it can't or shouldn't apply to presidents? Then what good is it at all? And above all else, show up and vote. Be an adult. You may think the choices are imperfect, but that's what we've got. There's only one vote for democracy, for peace, for the principles, the values that our country was founded on. And that's a vote for Joe Biden this fall. Heaven help us if the outcome's anything else. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take a couple of very important but brief messages. And Terry Barr is going to join us. We'll end the week on an up note with what's local and overlooked here in the state of Wisconsin. What about your friend?
I said, sometimes elected officials have to look the taxpayers in the eye and say, I screwed up, right? And that is why I should have never hired Mike Gabelman.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, y'all. Brian, you know, I got a question for you. Should I give away two Brewers tickets?
Yes.
Give away yes. All right. If you can correctly guess my age, you can give a call. I got two Brewers tickets right behind home plate. They're a little bit up there, but it's the best view in the entire stadium. If you call up and guess my age, the closest of any of the guessers, you will be the proud owner of two tickets. There's a 7 o'clock game tonight. I think they're playing the White Sox. I mean, that's a little fun.
It's going to be fun, and the club-level tickets are just amazing. You have to experience yes. them. If you have the chance, definitely do this. If you can be there tonight, go.
Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got two tickets for the caller that can get reasonably close to guessing my age, but not live on the air. Live on the air, we'll take Terry Barr, our friend here at Civic Media, for what's local and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome, Terry.
That's a hard act to follow. Hi.
Good to see you, Terry.
Well, you teased this as, let's end on some uplifting things. Well, you know, it's the news, and I guess I'm going to have to search harder to find some good uplifting things for you, Maggie. So here's what I got for you today. Uh-huh. We're going to start with this one. Now, do you remember the food delivery service known for its ice cream? It used to come to your house, Schwan's.
Schwan's. Are you talking about Schwan's? Yes. I love Schwan's.
Yes. Well, it's now called Yellow, and Yellow is laying off dozens of employees at plants in 5 different locations across Wisconsin. So notice just going out to state workforce development officials, and the layoffs will go into effect at the end of July. The company has already cut close to 800 jobs across the country in the last year. And I am setting this up on our website right now. It should be live in the next couple of minutes, and you can go there and get more details. But boy, this hurts a legacy of a company yes. that, you know, all of its customers loved it because of the delivery and its ice cream.
Of course.
I know.
Sad to hear that. Yes, go ahead, Terry. Sorry.
I know. So many food delivery services now, it's hard to compete, even if you were one of the first. Here is the other one. It's spoofing. And this is when a caller either emails or texts or even, you know, gives you a fake caller ID when they call you. And basically, they're trying to trick you into trusting them and giving you the information they want, including probably some money. This is happening right now after all of the storms we saw across Wisconsin. And basically, these fake messages are now coming from crooks pretending to work for your utility, meaning the electricity or the water companies that you work with. So they're going to send you something, and all of these are going to be fake. The Better Business Bureau folks are saying they're not going to call you and say, hey, we're going to shut off your water if you don't give us some money right now. So just don't think these are smart people doing these. Bottom line, if they want your info, they're going to do whatever they can and get your money. Just don't let them.
Always forewarned is forearmed. Thanks, Terry. Don't worry. I'll pick you up. I got a little bit of good news for everybody as we roll into the holiday season. Here's my good news. For anybody that has ever put up their home on Airbnb is blocking some Wisconsin rentals on holiday weekends over the summer. What I mean by that is that they're blocking users, in other words, the renters that have certain warning flags attached to them. In other words, people that wish to sometimes just rent for one night, it's an indicator that you might have a huge party. There's ways for users to appeal if they're denied a rental, but Airbnb finally getting on top of it here and around Wisconsin and the Midwest. I'm really glad to see it. They have blocked about 67,500 people total. There's about 500 of those users that are blocked here in Wisconsin. Again, they're trying to identify these higher risk rentals. I have a good friend who had put her place up on Airbnb, and someone used it for one of those like massive one night house parties and just trashed the joint, which is every Airbnb host's absolute worst nightmare. They're looking particularly at a lot of the rentals in the Door County area, of course, the Milwaukee area. So I was really happy to hear that. Now, are you an Airbnb user?
I have been, and it's been a great situation, but we also haven't done the, you know, just one or two night stay. Yes. And I'm already thinking of all the people from Fond du Lac up through Green Bay that are going to be doing their Airbnbs on their homes for the draft next year. That's going to be interesting if people can only, you know, do it for one night or, you know, a longer term period. I don't know.
Exactly. So they especially look at the one night rentals and the two night rentals. Mm-hmm. I am glad to see it. Thanks, Terry, for our two local and overlooked stories. We will talk to Terry again next week, as ever and always. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend, Terry. Happy guilty verdict.
You too, Maggie.
That's Civic Media's own Terry Barr. Sharky, the winner of the Brewers tickets. Yeah, Sharky, what a perfect afternoon for the Brewers to go even further ahead of the Cubs in the National League Central Division. That's what I'm hoping to see. Hope you all have a great weekend. Keep talking about politics, everybody. Start with the values. Let's decide where we want to go as a country. And I think it's away from a 34-time convicted felon. Just saying. I swear, Brian Kelly has pulled the best sound ever for the GOP flip-floppers, and we will be getting to it on Monday, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. Thanks so much for listening, and happy Friday, everybody. Have a great weekend. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. The Devil's Advocates Radio is next. What about your friends?
Wow.